Well, I want to tell you, where's Ed Lindbowers? There he is. Ed, you did a great job in the class this morning. If you were in there, he spoke about sorcery, you know, from the scripture. And, you know, we look at the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, we saw many examples of sorcery. Many of us, you know, we think that that was for back then, but we don't realize that there's people actually today that a sorcerer's job was to manipulate you into their way of thinking, you know? And so we got to be careful that, you know, we have to take every thought captive unto Christ Jesus. And there's a lot of voices out there today that would try to draw you after them. And our ears need to be attuned to what the Word of God has to say. Amen? So Pastor John, I know, is going to bring forth the Word today. Why don't we attune our ears to what the Spirit of God is saying? Jesus many, many times said, you know, you had ears, but you hear not. My wife said that to me on a couple occasions too, but selective hearing I had. But we really need to say, you know what, I want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church today. So pray with me. Father, we give you thanks. We give you glory, all praise, all honor. And Lord, we lift up our pastor to you right now. We pray, Lord, that you bless, that you would anoint this word. Lord, that our ears would be attuned to hearing what you are speaking. Let the Spirit move through him, upon him, and to us and through us. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we treasure it. Lord, we pray, open our ears that we might behold wonderful things out of thy law. Lord, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen. Amen. Well, if you remember, just a couple weeks ago, was the 4th of July, we celebrated Independence Day, and we talked about our freedom. Here we talked about the different things that we were, the freedom that we've been given in Jesus Christ. And he told us in Luke Chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. That was us. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free. You know, Jesus died to set us free. That's what the Word tells us. He died and he released us then through that offering, through that sacrifice. He released us from bondage to sin. He came to set the prisoners free, and we were those ones. We were imprisoned by our sin. We were enslaved to sin. And so what we did is we looked at the different freedoms that we've been given. And the first thing we saw that as a believer, we were released from the bondage to sin and slavery. And sin is no longer our master. You know, sin is a powerful force. It really is. It's very strong, but God in his word tells us that, you know, he's always given us a way out. Whenever there's a temptation, he always provides a way out, and no matter how strong sin is, God is stronger still. John 8:36 tells us that if the Son sets us free, we will be free indeed. We saw that we've been set free from the guilt of our past. We're not in this burdened down by this quicksand, this things that are holding us back. We're feeling all this shame and remorse and guilt where we can't go through, we can't go forward. God wants that to be done. He said he remembers it no more. So if he doesn't remember, who are we to hold ourselves to that then and be drugged down because of that? We've been set free from our fears. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Fear should not hold us back. Now, this is stuff we talked about 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to get into this. Just a very quick review. We've been set free from the wrath of God. In Romans 8:1, it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about God's wrath. We're not condemned anymore. Romans 6:23 tells us that the gift of God is eternal life. That's the gift that God has given us. We've been set free from living under the letter or the curse of the law. We no longer have to live as a slave would live, always afraid of that whip, always afraid of that, you know, that somebody coming around and condemning, criticizing, putting down, or doing something to us because we didn't do perfect. Romans 8:2 tells us, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. God has now taken those laws that we used to have to follow by the words of them, and now he's put them in our heart and in our minds. And he's given us the ability now to follow him, not out of, you know, the fear of that law, the letter of that law, but now what he's done is he's put it in our hearts so we can obey him and follow him through love, the greatest motivator in the world. We were originally created to be a free people. God made us that way in the very beginning. And something happened. We were made to be, you know, like living and moving and having our being in Christ Jesus, being able to flow in that freedom. But then sin entered the world. He doesn't want us to be bound up with all those rules and regulations. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." This is how God wants us to walk. God wants us to enjoy this wonderful gift of freedom that he has given us, because it will transform our life. When Ray was up here singing, he wasn't all bound up by rules and regulations, knowing, can I do this? Is this proper? Is this okay? Is this blah, 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 and these million things. He was able to come up. He overcame his fears. He overcame his guilt, as he was saying. He overcame all those things, and in freedom was able to stand up here and honor God with a song. Galatians 5:1 tells us that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It says, now a major part of this standing firm, stand firm, it tells us, is realizing that with this freedom that we have comes responsibility. And that's what I want to talk about today. The title of my message today is that with greater freedom comes greater responsibility. As parents, a major job of teaching our children, training our children, was to teach them responsibility. As they were growing up, we all know it, and we did it. We always wanted to go take it a step further. We always wanted to, you know, go farther, do more, you know, try to do what we wanted to do and go beyond what we were told we could do. And first, our kids, they want to, you know, they want to, what they want to do is they want to be able to go, they want to go here, they want to go there, they want to do this, they want to do that, they want to drive cars, they want to stay out late, they want to go out with the right or the wrong friends, they want to do everything, or they want to do nothing. And we have to deal with that as parents. It's our job as good parents to teach them that with every little bit of freedom that we give them, they have to prove that they can handle that freedom by acting responsible. An obvious example of that is driving a car. Think about that. When we first give our kids the keys to the car, and now they gotta show that they're responsible. They can't drive like crazy, otherwise they'll get a ticket. They might lose their license. They might ruin our car. They might get in an accident, hurt somebody, maybe hurt themselves. They could even die if they didn't drive responsibly. They have to learn that they have to have insurance. They have to have gas in the car. They have to, you know, take care and maintain the car. There's a lot of things that go along with having that car. And every kid wants wheels, but they don't always understand the responsibilities that go with those wheels. So we have to teach them to do that. And to do that, then they have to have a job. If we're good parents that are teaching them responsibly, then they need to have a way to help pay for that. They need to have a job. And if they're going to have a job, they have to be educated. Most likely, they're going to have a diploma or a GED or something. It's the same for us as Christians. There are certain responsibilities that we have as Christians that go along with this freedom that God has given us. Responsibilities that we have to take very seriously, or we could lose our freedom in Christ. Christianity is just like anything else. The more we put into it, the more we're going to get out of it. The more we do our part, the more we're going to see it is going to be good. And if we take our responsibilities seriously, we will be blessed beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine. So I want to take a look today at a few of the areas, and I can't cover them all in one day, But I just want to take a look at a few areas where we need to be responsible if we want to walk in our calling and we want to fulfill our purpose in God and live the most rewarding life that is possible for us. The first area that we need to be responsible in is not going back into those old rules and regulations and under all that bondage that we just escaped from. God doesn't want us to live by rules, regulations, routines, habits. That's what the Pharisees did. There's nothing wrong with rules. There's nothing wrong with habits. They're fine. But God isn't looking for people that, you know, want to find a formula to live by. And it's all too often that we as Christians, we want to find, what's the formula? How do I do this? And then we want to get that, do it, and think, okay, I'm done with that now. Now I can go back and live my life. I've done this. I've gone to church. I paid my tithe. I went to Wednesday night, or I did this. Now I'm done. Now I can go do whatever I want to do. That's not the way God wants us to be. He wants us, doesn't want us to have a relationship with a rule book or with a formula. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to be able to lead us through His Holy Spirit. And He wants us to fall in love with Him, not with a set of rules. The Holy Spirit is the one who drew us to God. He's the one who convicted us of our sin and brought us to God. And He's the one who now wants to work in us and through us to keep this relationship going and to make it even stronger. We can't just put aside everything we learned from God and push the Holy Spirit aside and say, okay, I did that check, I did that check. Okay, I'm good. I did my part. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit that you are now trying to attain your goal by human effort, by rules, by regulations, by set days and months and times and all these things? All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.' Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law because the righteous will live by faith." If we try to prove our Christianity, if we try to prove our love for God, you know, by following the law, then guess what? We're obligated, it tells us right in there, we're obligated then to do every single law perfectly without one single mistake. And who can do that? Nobody. Nobody can do that. That's why Jesus had to come to set us free from the curse of the law, because every one of us would have been sent to hell. Every one of us would have died. Every one of us would have blown it every day. So Jesus said, "I will come and I will die. I will take the punishment for all the sin that they would have committed under the law, and I'll set them free." It's never been about the things that we do. Those things that we do are supposed to be a result of love. But it's not about doing the things first. It's about the relationship we have with God. And then out of that relationship, out of that love, then we do the things. Galatians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Because you are His sons or His daughters, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father, Daddy.'" That's what He wants. He wants us to have that kind of a relationship where we see Him as our loving Father. You are no longer a slave to that sin, to that rule, to that law, but a son, a child of God. And since you are a child, God has made you also an heir. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? That's what He calls those rules and regulations, weak and miserable principles. Do you wish to be enslaved by them again, all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. Paul says, "I fear for you."
that somehow I've wasted my efforts. He doesn't want him to go back. He doesn't want us to go back to the rules and the regulations. Another responsibility we have is to not go the other way and throw off all restraints and go and do whatever we want because we say, well, I got freedom in Christ. That's just as bad. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another, humbly in love. 1 Peter 2:16, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. One last one. 1 Corinthians 10:23, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Is what we are doing in our life, is our time, the time that we spend, is it spent doing something beneficial or constructive? Kingdom building, is that what we're doing? Or are we just wasting our time trying to feed our flesh? We can't let things master us. We can't let this insatiable desire, this quest for freedom, master us where we want our flesh to do whatever it wants. That's what the devil's trying to get us to do. We've been set free not just to live for our pleasure. That will just eventually bring us down. It'll destroy us. Our true joy will be found as we walk in this freedom and we serve God and we serve others. Another area that we need to be responsible about is making sure our freedom doesn't become a stumbling block for somebody else's weakness. In 1 Corinthians 8:9, it says, be careful that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, pretty broad, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Something might be okay between you and God. Maybe you've worked out an arrangement with him. You know, and you know that for you that's okay. But somebody else might have an issue with that. Somebody else might have a problem with that. Maybe they're battling former addictions or former problems or something like that. So we can't just say, well, hey, I got the freedom to do that. I don't care what they think. I'm going to do that. I don't care if I'm at their house or I'm with them. That's not the way to live. We don't want to ever do something that could possibly lead somebody else down the path to destruction. The truth is, God wants us to use our freedom to love and to serve one another. In fact, he's made that our responsibility. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. For the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. How can we love our neighbor if we do something that drags them down? How can we love our neighbor if we have no regard for them, if we don't care how they feel? We need to be sensitive to people. Another responsibility that we have to do is be vigilant, watching out for threats within the body, within the church. That might sound terrible to have to say that, and unfortunately it is terrible to have to say that. But you know what? It's been a threat since day one. Paul talked about this all the time. 2 Peter talked about it. You know, all the apostles talked about it. It was something they saw it. They dealt with it. Look what happened with Jesus, one of his own, one of the 12. It happens. 2 Peter 2:1-3. But there are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways, and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Now, I don't want to do that. I don't want to dishonor God by teaching falsehoods. 2 Peter 2:17. These people are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. Boy, they don't have a good future coming, do they? For they mouth empty, boastful words by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh. These are people in the church they're talking about now. They entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. Brand new people come into the church. They want to get hold of them and show them that they know the better way. They promise them freedom. You can do this. Don't worry about what the pastor says. You don't understand. We have freedom. Oh, we can do this. We can do that. While they themselves are slaves to depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. 2 Peter 3:17. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. Oh, you can fall from your secure position. There it is, right there. You know, televangelists, ministers on TV, different churches, some pastors, I've seen it, people in, that come into church and they have secret meetings. Hey, don't tell anybody. We're going to meet. We're going to do this. I got this book I want you to read. It's got real knowledge. Most people don't know about it. I don't think the pastor goes along with it, but this is real. You hear somebody talking to you like that? Run. Don't walk. Run. And expose them. Go tell somebody. Say, hey, you're trying to get me to read this book. I don't know. Maybe it's okay. I'm not sure. But maybe you might want to look at it and see what they're doing. Maybe they want to bring you to some meeting and you go in there and you think like, what the heck is going on here? We got to be careful for that kind of stuff. That's why the Word warns us to watch out. From within, we have a responsibility to be aware that those things happen. Not all the time, not everywhere, but they happen. We can't live in a bubble where we think that just because we're in church, everybody's wonderful and perfect. So we need to look out for ourselves, and we need to look out for our brothers and sisters, too. We have to be also vigilant about enemies from without. Now, of course, now we can be talking about the devil and all his demons and spiritual, you know, entities of evil that are in high places, all these things that are coming against us, they're all out there. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know what schemes are? Schemes are devious plots that have been hatched in secret, where people make this whole plan and they actually sit back and try to figure. That's what the devil does. He tries to find ways to knock you out, to knock you down, to drag you around, to destroy you, if at the very least to make you ineffective as a Christian. He hates it when Christians pray. He hates it when Christians worship. He hates it when Christians turn to God and give up. They give up their things of the flesh and go after God. So he constantly tries to bring us back. Bring those, and he tried it to Jesus. Just bow down to me and I'll give you all the world, all these cities. You don't have to go to the cross. I can show you a better way. You're hungry? Sure, go ahead. Make these stones, make them into bread. You can do that. And you know your dad would never let you get hurt. You can jump right here. Your angels will get you. They'll protect you. Don't worry. You can do whatever you want. You'll be protected. God will watch out for you. You can step off into that sin for a while. Enemies, schemes, plots designed to destroy you. We have to be careful. We have to be responsible to watch out for those things. Oh, the best way we can prepare ourselves to recognize those kinds of deceptions, those kind of schemes and plots and all that stuff, is to do what? You want to know a counterfeit? You learn the real thing. We got to get into the Word. We have a responsibility to study the Word of God, to show ourselves approved. It's our survival manual. It's our, you know, it's our battle plan book. It's our love letter from God. It's what brings us life. We're called to study it. We're told to get into that Word. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What better way to do that than to get into the Word? His Word is a light for our path and a lamp unto our feet. 2 Timothy tells us, 3:16 tells us that the Word of God is living and active. It's alive for us. It's always somehow God's Word miraculously somehow can always speak to whatever issue we're going through. It's living and it's active and it's God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training us in righteousness. It's wonderful. It's an amazing thing. It's a great thing. God's Word is the only fail-safe thing that we have that we can always study. We can always watch out for. As we learn God's truth through His Word, we have a responsibility then, next, to be obedient to that Word. John 14:23 says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." 1 John 2:4 through 6 says, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them." So as we walk in this word, as we obey this word, God's love then is made complete in us. Comes full circle. He loved us. We love him because he first loved us, remember? And he loved us and gave us his son, the living word. Now we follow and obey his word, which proves that we love him. Full circle. And one last responsibility I'll look at today, because I'm already running out of time. Since we are now filled with the Holy Spirit, God has given us power. Power to be witnesses. We're now anointed, just as Jesus was, to go and proclaim freedom. We have that same calling on us now to go proclaim freedom to those around us who are still prisoners, to those who are captives, to those who don't know Christ. Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This gift of freedom that we were given was not just given for us. It was given, you know, for us so that we could share it with everyone that would receive it. We got to pass it on. Pass it on. But how can they receive it if we don't tell it? Romans 10:14 says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" You think that just means pastors preaching? No way. That means they got to come into church then, usually. It means all of us, wherever we are at any time, to share that word. Freely, it tells us in Matthew 10:8, "Freely you have received, freely give." As we are led by the Holy Spirit, we will find that we come across amazing opportunities on a regular basis to change people's lives for all eternity. Us? I can change somebody's life? You can change somebody's life? For all eternity? Yes, you can. You can. Not just me, not just some leader somewhere, not just your neighbor, not just your wife, not just your husband. You can change somebody's life for eternity as you are led by God. It's the Holy Spirit working through you doing this. But you're the vehicle that He'll use. God wants to use you. We can help set people free from the bondage of sin and death. By being faithful, we can show them that they can have freedom in their life. And that's the calling of every one of us. Every one of us. God set us free so we can rescue others. He's going to bring them to us. He'll just bring them right along our way, and he'll prepare their hearts. He's already been working in their hearts. He's already, you know, been making them get to the point where they're starting to wonder, starting to question, and then he gives us the words to say. He really does it all. We're just like the pitcher that pours out the water. The pitcher didn't do it. It didn't fill itself up, and it didn't pour itself. Somebody had to fill it. Somebody had to pour it. We're the pitcher. We're the vessel. We just have to be available. When we're led by the Spirit, we can see great things happen. Our responsibility is just to do the best we can with whatever we have. And I want to end with one short story. It's a story about an elderly carpenter who was getting ready to retire. He was getting a little old. He knew he still wanted to enjoy a time in his life. He wanted to be able to spend time with his family and his kids. He was hoping he could maybe build himself a little retirement home and just sort of enjoy his last years. And so he went to his contractor, his employer, who was a building contractor, and he built houses for this man. And this was his best worker. This was his best worker. He hated it when this guy, missed work because, he was the best one he had. And the guy goes and tells him, I'm going to be leaving. I'm really going to miss my paycheck. It's going to be tight, but I'm going to leave because I want to have time with my family. So the contractor was really sorry to see his good worker and somewhat of a friend go. So he asked him if he would just, build one more house for him. Will you build me just one more house? And the guy says, yeah, okay, I'll do it. So the carpenter gets out there and he starts working on his house, but his heart just isn't in it. He all these years he's been so responsible and so good, but he just didn't quite feel like doing this. And he started using shoddy materials and he did sort of a shoddy job. And it was really an unfortunate way to end his career. And then he finished the house and he called up the guy and says, yeah, I finished it, so I'm out of here. And the guy said, wait, let me come on over. I want to inspect it and, see how it is. And he came over. He handed him the key and he said, this is your house for you because you've been such a good employee. And the guy was shocked. He couldn't believe that he had gotten this house. And he said, man, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have been such a crappy builder. Man, I knew how to build it good, but I didn't take my responsibility seriously. I used inferior products. I didn't do this right. I didn't do that right. And sometimes it's like that with us. We know what's right. We know what we're supposed to be responsible for. And sometimes we just don't do it. We'd rather sit in front of the TV. We'd rather, just hang out. We'd rather just do this and do that and not take our responsibilities as a Christian. And then we're shocked when we find ourselves in some situation. It shouldn't have happened. The situations we find ourselves in today are often a result of what we did yesterday. And where we find ourselves tomorrow will be a result of what we do today. And so we need to think of ourselves in light of the way that carpenter would be. We want to do good work. God has given us the tools. He's given us, all the materials that we need. He's given us the knowledge. He's given us the know-how. He's given us the support group, our brothers and sisters, our church. He's given us a great helper in the Holy Spirit. And he says, now, I just want you to be responsible with what I've given you and use it so you can build something that is great, something that is wonderful. Something that is lasting. Something that when others look at it, it will bring honor and glory to God. This is our calling. This is our purpose in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. We want to thank you that you have given us every opportunity, Lord. Every chance to build something wonderful, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. I pray that we would be faithful, that we would be responsible, that we would use the freedoms that we have gotten from you and be responsible to do all those things that you've shown us. That we would take our Christian faith seriously. That we would use it to build your kingdom, to build a legacy, to touch our families, to touch our friends, to touch our neighborhoods. Lord, use us. Help us to be that vessel, that willing vessel, just like that pitcher of water we talked about. Lord, fill us up and pour us. We come to you, Lord. We say, use me. Use me. Who can I send? Who can I send? Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. And we don't have to worry. We think we're not perfect, that we haven't done well in the past. God will take that coal and touch our lips, and he'll make us perfect. God, use us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Don't forget, if you're able to help today at 1 o'clock, help set up the Vacation Bible School. And don't forget, this week, this is a big effort on our part to touch our neighborhood and to bless all these little kids. Let's be a blessing. Let's take that and do something great with it. Thank you. And then we got coffee and donuts upstairs, too. Thanks for coming out today. God bless you.